Good evening, everyone. Are you ready for the word? Hallelujah. Tim told me today around 11 or 12 that he'd like me to preach tonight. And so that's kind of how he works. A lot of times if he asks somebody to minister, it's kind of last minute. And actually, that's quite a bit of notice for him. Most times it's just a couple hours. And so how many of you know that there are things that happen suddenly in life? You know, so I'm just going about my day doing what I normally do and taking care of my family and that sort of thing. And Tim asked me to minister. And I don't just panic and try and quick dig something up and hurry up and study and panic pray and all of that. You know what you have to do? You have to live ready. You have to live ready. Now, you might not be in the pulpit, you know, up here like this, but you have to live ready for life. Because how many of you know there are things that come suddenly? Changes in your finances, changes in your marriage, changes with your kids, changes in your job, you know, a report from a doctor. There are lots of things that happen suddenly in life. And we have to live full of the Word and full of the Spirit so that when those things come, we're ready for it. We're ready to answer it. We're ready to face it. We're ready to overcome it. Hallelujah. That we don't just lay down in that hour, in the hour of the suddenly, and let it wash over us. Amen. We stand up and take our place in the Word. And you can do that because you've been feeding your faith day in and day out, day in and day out. And listen, I understand people have jobs, people have churches that they're overseeing, people have, you know, children at home and businesses and all kinds of things that, you know, demand a certain amount of their time. But you know when you're in your car and you're on your way to take your kids to school, you're on your way to the grocery store, you're on your way to church on Sunday, you can spend just 5 and 10 minutes fellowshipping with the Lord. You know, when I come from my house to here, it only takes about 3-4 minutes to get here. And the whole way here, the kids and I are praising God. Thank you, Lord. When we get to church, we're going to give exactly what we need to give, and we're going to get exactly what we need to get. And there have been times where I needed something specific from God. And so on the way to church, I would ask him for direction in that area. I would ask him to speak to my heart, encouragement, correction, direction, whatever it was that I needed for that area to have an answer. And so if you need something, just ask. The Bible says in Psalm 91, call unto me and I will answer you. And so we know if we'll call to him, he'll give us a response. But so many times we don't have an answer because we didn't even ask. So just ask. Even right now in your heart, if there's something that you need from the service tonight, just go before God, just right here, just quietly. Lord, you know I need direction for my marriage. You know I need direction for my finances, whatever it is. And I take that for myself right now. I believe that you're going to speak that to my heart. Because you know, as you're sitting here tonight, and as I minister the word, the Lord will say things to you I never said. He'll speak to you instruction and direction concerning things that words that never came out of my mouth. But it was the Holy Ghost putting something in you to give you direction for what you need. Amen. And so, well, we're all here together. You know, if after the service we ask Pastor Brad what I ministered on, he might say something than what my staff says I ministered on, because they needed something specific for their own life. And so God spoke to them what they needed. Amen. So open with me, if you will, to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And I'd like to share some things with you tonight concerning being successful in life. Because success in life is not as hard as you might think. Joshua was in my Bible. Hold on. So, you know, a lot of times it's easier than we know. We just have to know what to do. You know, before I was born again, I always just thought if I get an education, I could be successful. You know, if I worked hard enough, I could be successful. If I just made my own way, I could be successful. But it always depended on me. And, you know, after I got born again, I realized if I just follow the plan of God, he'll make me a success in all that he wants me to do. And so education isn't bad. That's a good thing. It's right to have an education. You know, Tim and I both have an education. We plan for our kids to go to college. We have a college fund for them. You know, if I have anything to do with it, they'll go to college. Hallelujah. So that's good. And education is good. But how many of you know it's best to be educated in the Word? This is the best education you'll ever get. Hallelujah. And so I was never a success in life until I started to do what the Bible says. And before that, I was just unstable, unsteady, and hoping it worked out. And no matter how much I got out of the out of my education, it was never enough to make me the success God wanted me to be. And so as I studied the Word, as I meditated in the Word, as I sought the Lord, He put things in me that the SUNY system can't give. He tells you things no man can know. And that makes you a success. You know, Brother Hagin used to call it the inside information. We have inside information. We know things other people don't know because the Holy Ghost will speak those secret truths to us. Hallelujah, to put us over. And so go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And I'm going to share with you, possibly, this is sort of what I had today. If I'm not sure we'll get to all of them, but three things that we can do that will help us to be a success in life. And here is the first one. Are you ready? To renew your mind. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You shall observe to do according to all that is written therein, and then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. And so if we look at this scripture, it says, first of all, that the book of the law should not depart out of our mouth. So we're always speaking the word. And then it says that we'll meditate therein day and night. So we're always going over that word in our heart. And then it says that we'll do the word. And so really that's very simple. We think about the word, we talk the word, and then we do the word. And then we're prosperous. Then we live in success. And how many of you know that your marriage will never be a success until you do the word? Many times people think, my marriage will be a success when my spouse does X, Y, and Z. You know, my marriage will be a success when my spouse stops doing X, Y, and Z. You know, my marriage will be a success when this. But listen, your marriage is a success when you think about the word, when you speak the word, and when you do the word. You know, your children are obedient when you speak the word, when you think the word, when you do the word. If you want success in any area of life, this is it. And if you look back at this verse in your Bible, look how many times it says thy or thou. You know, if you go in, I've underlined it in my Bible. Every time it said thy or thou. Because that lets me know that the word depends on me, how much I do. You know, I think a lot of people have in their mind that they'll be a success when Jesus does something for them, when their pastor does something for them, when their church does something for them. But listen, you're only a success when you do something. You do something. And if there's a failure in your life, then you have to do something to make that adjustment. And, you know, there are a lot of times, and we've all done this, where we've come into a situation and it didn't work out how we wanted it to, or it's not going the direction that we want. And it's real easy to say, this would have worked out if so-and-so hadn't done this, if so-and-so hadn't done that. If they had just done this, then it would have worked out. But the truth is, if we'll have the word of God in our heart, we'll speak the word of God out of our mouth, and we'll do the word of God, that thing will succeed every single time. Hallelujah. And so we need to know that the responsibility is on us, that we're the ones who take the word, we're the ones who do the word, and then you'll succeed. Hallelujah. And so it's really not that hard. Success is really not that hard. It's very simple, but you have to know what to do. And so the first step is to renew your mind. Go with me over here to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and you all know where I'm going with this. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, because we've been taught, and it's good to learn over and over, hear over and over regarding renewing our mind. Because, listen, you haven't renewed your mind until you're doing something, right? Sometimes we think we've renewed our mind because we've gone home and we've sat down in our chair or on our bed or wherever it is we meditate, and we've gotten the Bible before us and we've thought real hard about the verse and we've, you know, pondered it in our heart and then gone back to it again and we've memorized it. And those things are really good. But listen, it won't do you any good till you go out and do what you just pondered. And if you're wondering if you've renewed your mind enough in a certain area, or if you've begun to renew your mind, you can tell by the way that you behave. Because if you've renewed your mind, you'll act different. You won't act the same. You know, if you think back now from where you are right at this minute, from where you were when you first got born again, or where you were when you first came into this church, you notice a change in some things. And probably more areas, you know, maybe in one than another. Let's say, you know, maybe your finances are radically different, but you're still, you know, believing God and working on your love walk, you know. And so we can be at different places in different areas of our life. But you can see that when you first started, you're not the same as where you are now. And what that means is you've renewed your mind. And so if you look at your life and you think, well, you know, it's God's begun a good work in me, but I'd like to make more progress in this certain area, renewing your mind is the answer to that. And so you'll be able to tell how much you've renewed your mind by how much you're doing the word in that area. Amen. And, you know, different people deal with different things. You know, some people might get tripped up regarding money. Some people get tripped up regarding their finances. Some people get tripped up in their marriage. You know, we all face different things in different measures. And I want you to know, whatever it is, you can go to God and believe him for help in that area. Okay? And so, for example, for myself, I'm very cautious regarding my love walk, because I know this: my faith isn't any stronger than my love walk. And my prayers won't work any better than the measure to which I walk in love. And so, you know, in the Old Testament, remember Samson? Now, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the Holy Ghost on the inside. And so they didn't have an anointing on the inside. They didn't have an unction on the inside to tell them what to do. They had to go by outward circumstances, and they had to go to the priest and the prophet to know what to do. And so our strength in the New Testament is on the inside. But in the Old Testament, where was Samson's strength? It was in his hair. It was in something physical. And so we know that when he lost his hair, he lost his strength. But in the New Testament, our spiritual strength comes from our love walk. Our love walk. And so if you're struggling in faith in an area, fortify your love walk. If you're feeling like, you know, your prayers just really aren't going where you want them to, they're not making the progress you thought, fortify your love walk. Because that's what gives the power to our faith and to our prayers, is our love walk. And so all the time, there are things that I'm asking the Lord to help me with, you know, to have greater revelation in, to have instruction in. And so one of the things that I believe God for is for his glory to be manifested in my love walk. And so I tell him, Lord, I need your help in walking in love. I know, according to Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Spirit are in me. I'm not asking you to put your love in me. I know all that's in Galatians 5:22 is in me. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all those things are in me. I don't pray and ask God, God, help me be patient. Or, Lord, make me patient. He's made me patient. But I can ask him, Lord, as I exercise patience, I thank you your power is there to help me. Yes. Oh, dear. Because we need help with patience, don't we? And you think you're patient when you're single. And you know how to walk in love when it's just you. And then you get married, and like Pastor Michael says, you start all over and you realize you didn't know anything about patience. You didn't know anything about love. And then when you have kids, you realize you really didn't know anything about patience, and you really didn't know anything about love. Because your spouse and your kids will test your patience, and they'll test your love, right? Because we're all human, you know? those little things that they do that just irk you, you know? And I will tell you this. If you'll just accept that some things will never change, you'll live peaceful. Right? And that's not anti-faith. You know, I'm sorry, I'm not using my faith for my husband to turn his socks right side out before he puts them in the hamper, because that irks me. He rolls them up in a little ball, and he throws them by his bed, or he'll at least put them in the hamper, but I have to unroll them and turn them right side out, and it bugs me, because I do the laundry. And back when I was back a time ago, I won't tell you how long ago, but I used to throw them back in his office, like on the floor. Like when he got it straightened out, then I'd wash them. But then, you know, the conviction of God, and he doesn't let you do that and act so dumb and all that. So now I just turn them right side out, and I wash them, and I fold them, and I put them back in his office all nice and sweet. Because, you know what, it was so much easier for me when I just accepted it wasn't going to change. It's not a big deal. I'm not going to lose my victory over my husband not turning his socks the right side out, you know? And so just when you live with someone, there are little things that they do you prefer they wouldn't, right? And so, you know, we have to overlook those things for our faith to work, because you can real easily get out of patience and get out of love regarding your husband and your kids. So back to this. So I believe God to help me with my love walk. But listen, I am already doing something to that end. You know, Brother Hagin's book, Love the Way to Victory, I'm always reading that book and meditating in 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm meditating in 1 Peter chapter 3, which is my job, my role as a wife, and purposing to do that. But then I ask the Holy Ghost, Lord, help me to be a doer of this word. I know it's already in me. Help me to bring that forth. And as soon as you use your faith for something and you start believing for something and you start making steps toward making something right, I'm here to tell you something is going to come to test it. You know, have you ever noticed anytime Tim preached on the love walk, when he tells me he's going to be preaching on the love walk that morning, I'm like, oh, help me, Jesus, because I know this week my love walk will be tested. And so you can guarantee as soon as you attempt to do the words you know, it will be tested. Amen. But you can overcome. Hallelujah. Because you ask him for his help. Call unto me, Psalm 91, and I will answer you. Amen. And so Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And Tim has taught this before many times, but transformed really means metamorphosis. And we all took fourth grade science or whatever it was, where, you know, you have the little butterfly and it goes through all the phases, you know, or the caterpillar and it goes through all the phases, and then it becomes this beautiful butterfly. And that's really what it means. That, you know, when you first see that caterpillar, it doesn't look anything like it does once it transforms into a butterfly. And so the way your life is now, if it's not exactly what you wanted it to be, or how you thought it should look, or how you wanted it to look, that's okay. Just spend more time renewing your mind, and you'll look nothing like you used to look. Hallelujah. And aren't you thankful for the mercy and the patience of God? The Bible said his mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. We know that his goodness and mercy endures forever. And so he has never run short on mercy. He's never run short on patience. He's never run short on grace. He's always there to help us. And if you've missed it 10 times in something, he'll help you get out the 11th time. As long as you keep going back to him, seeking him for help, purposing to do the word, he's going to be there for you to help you out. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? Because I don't know about you, but I've missed it sometimes over and over and over in the same area. You know, haven't your kids done that at times? And you just want to tell them, I told you that like 10 times. Stop doing that. And they do it anyways. But yet, you still love them. You're still good to them. You still provide for them. You're still sweet to them. And you love them. And God says, our love here on earth toward our kids is evil compared to how much he loves us. So if we're that good and patient with our own kids, how much more the Heavenly Father with us when we need it? Now listen, we are not looking to exhaust the grace of God. We are not looking, you know, to just keep doing that same thing over and over again. And he knows that, right? But if we've stumbled in something at times, he's always there to help us. Amen. And so, you know, I was thinking about this. You know those little mealworms you can get sometimes and you can feed them to ducks, and I don't even know what else eats them, but other bugs eat them. And, you know, mealworms are really not a worm. It's actually the larva of a beetle. And if you wait long enough, it'll turn into a beetle. And, you know, when I was thinking about that and thinking about the butterfly, what an amazing thing that something starts out so different than it ends up. And that's how God meant for us to be if we'll renew our mind. But listen, that process takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. And sometimes we're not patient enough with ourselves. You know, that God is patient with us. He's merciful. He's gracious toward us. But how about being patient with yourself? And also when you've missed it, that you can be gracious toward yourself, forgiving toward yourself. Many times we'll forgive other people. We'll be patient with other people. We'll be gracious toward other people. But we're not that toward ourselves. And so if you've missed it in an area, if you've done something you shouldn't, and you ask the Lord forgiveness, he's there to forgive you. But also don't forget the second step, which is, Father, I'm sorry I did it. I repented of this, and I know you forgive me, and now I forgive myself. Because if you don't forgive yourself, condemnation will work in your life and paralyze your faith and your progress in God and paralyze your prayers. Because listen, you know, if you had unforgiveness towards someone else, your prayers and your faith wouldn't work right. It's hard to walk in love that way. But how much you know about yourself if you don't forgive yourself? If you don't go to God and say, Lord, you know what? I did miss it. I forgive myself. And that's a step sometimes we miss. And we don't realize why we're kind of stuck. We're not going forward like we should. We're not making progress like we should. And sometimes it's because we haven't forgiven ourselves. Because you can really beat yourself up in your own mind. And the enemy doesn't need to do anything against you because you're your own worst enemy. Because we're all acquainted with our own faults. We all know the areas in which we're short, you know, in which we're not there yet, in which we're working on. We know those things, but the enemy will take those thoughts that we have against ourselves and he'll fuel it. He'll fuel it. And so then he doesn't even need to do anything else against us. We're just doing it to ourselves. And so if you've missed it in an area when you're in prayer, it can even be driving down the road in your car on your way home tonight. Father, I forgive myself. I want you to know I won't think about this anymore. You know, have your kids ever done something and they beat themselves up for it and you're trying to encourage them, honey, it's okay, it's not that big a deal. You know, they spilled something on your couch or they ruined something of yours or Michael's broken my same lamp twice. And, you know, I just purposed at this stage not to have anything too precious in my house because it's all on the verge of being broken. You know, just because two little boys and a husband, you know, I think Tim's the worst culprit, to be honest with you, but, you know, they wrestle and they throw things and they kick and they fall off the couch and they lay on the couch and then they throw their leg back and, you know, so everything around them, there's a possibility of it being broken. And so, you know, last time he broke it, I think it was last week, he came to me and he was crying. He's like, Mommy, I'm so sorry I broke your lamp. And I'm like, honey, it's fine. It's just a thing. It's not that big a deal. But he kept crying about it, you know. And so sometimes we've done that where we've missed it and we just won't let it go. And we keep crying about it and we keep holding a grudge against ourselves and we keep thinking how wrong we did it. And God is not thinking that. I wasn't thinking a thing about that lamp. And he just kept it going, you know. And so sometimes we've kept it going and God doesn't remember it. And so if you've missed it, ask, you tell the Lord that you forgive yourself. I asked you to forgive me, Lord, and now I forgive myself and I won't remember it anymore. Because the enemy will work that against you to try and tear you down, bring condemnation against you, and work against your prayers and your faith. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's go on to the next thing here. So that was number one, roads to success. First thing we're going to do is renew our mind. And the last stage of renewing your mind is being a doer of the word. So you can tell how much of the word you know, how much of the word you've renewed in your mind by how much you're doing that word. Amen. So I can tell how much I've renewed my mind in the love walk by how loving I am. You know, if I'm being short with everybody, if I'm yelling at my kids, if I'm giving my husband the silent treatment, what does that tell me? I need to go back and renew my mind because I'm not doing it to the measure that I could. Amen. And let me tell you this, God is not looking for you to go over your life with a fine-tooth comb and tear apart every little thing and write down every little thing you're not doing and focus on all the stuff that you're failing at. No, you know the area in which you struggle with the most, so focus on that first, right? And I don't give my kids a list of 10 things to do because they can't handle it. They can't handle it, and I know that. And so I've even told them sometimes 2 or 3 things to do, and they, I come downstairs, and they're still not even working on number one. You know, and so God knows what we can handle. He knows where we are, and he's not giving you a list of 20 things to revamp your entire life. He's saying, you know what, this thing's at the forefront. I encourage you, work on that a little bit, and you'll get it. Amen. Okay, so number two. The second thing we're going to do, go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. That we're going to follow other successful people that God calls us to. And we know primarily and first and foremost is Jesus. So we're going to look at that first. Matthew 16:24. It says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And so the first thing we obviously need to do is to follow Jesus. And a lot of people think, well, that's a no-brainer. We know that. We're Christians. We're in church. We know that. But how many of you know that it's real easy to follow something else that's not Jesus? You can follow a job away from the Lord. You can follow your paycheck. You can follow a spouse. You can follow your family. You can follow traditions. You know, there are lots of things that have a voice. There are lots of things that try and speak to us and tell us to do things. Say to us, just come follow me. Come follow me. We've had people at times in the church who were here faithful for a while, and they knew the word of God, they heard the word of God, they were doing it in a measure, I don't know how much, I'm not their judge. But then after a while, they would get a job offer that was a significant increase from where they were, except you have to move 10 hours away. And they knew that this was their church, they were following Jesus, following their pastor, until that job had a voice. A loud voice. The paycheck spoke to them and said, come this way. Come over here. Move over here. You know, your family at times, you know, you would think your family would be for you and want you to have a Bible teaching church and have the right pastor and grow in those things, but let's face it, they're not all that happy about it sometimes, at least initially. And they'll say, come over to this dead church. Come over to this state where I'm living. And let's, you know, let's all be together. And they'll try and play on your emotions to pull you off the plan of God. And so sometimes people think, you know, it's real easy. We just follow Jesus. Well, it's not always that easy because other things have a voice to try and pull you away from that. And so just make sure that you know in your heart where your church is. Amen. And that you stay there. You know that the Bible says that God puts the members in the body where it pleases him. Amen. And so he made us all family here tonight together. He put us all here. He called us here. He gave us our pastor. and we know who we're to follow. And, you know, have you ever been in a church that wasn't this church since you've been coming here? And when you go there, what do you know? That's not my pastor. You don't have to have anybody tell you. When you hear your pastor preach and then you hear somebody else preach, you just know on the inside, he's the one. That's my pastor. That's who I'm called to be with. And so once you know that, hold on to it with all you've got. No matter what your tradition says, no matter what your family says, no matter what your job says, whatever any other voice in this world says to you, you hold on to Jesus and your pastor. Amen. So that was step number two to make you a success in life. Go over here with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll look at this a little more. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Hallelujah. When Tim and I were in the church before we came to Pastor Michael's church, it was BCF at the time. Pastor Michael was the pastor, he still is in Fredonia. But we were going to a different church. And at that time, for a while, Tim has told you before, he was traveling on the weekend. So a lot of times on the weekend, I was going to church by myself. And I grew up Catholic, but he and I were going together to a community church, but really it was a Baptist church. And so I remember he was away traveling with his parents, and I was going to church, and just every week it seemed to be that there was a change happening, an adjustment happening. And then one week I was in service, and I talked to Tim after service, and I was crying. And I said, I know there's a change. There's something. We're not in the right place anymore. You know, have you ever just known when my time is done? Whether it's with a job, you know when you're done having children, you know when you're supposed to leave a certain place and go to another place. Pastor Jeff, Pastor Renee, I'm sure you can testify. You know when it's time for you to go have your own church. You know when something is done, right? In your heart, you know it. And the important thing is follow that. Now do it right. We went to our pastor and we walked in love and we left and, you know, he blessed it and we have a wonderful relationship with our pastor. But when you know it's time, you need to depart from that. Graciously, lovingly, sweetly, honorably, but depart. Because how many of you know when you keep on to that connection? Paul said, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Is pressing this way or is pressing this way? Pressing is forward, it's ahead. So it's really hard for us to press forward holding on to the past, holding on to what we should let go. You know, we've talked about this before. How hard would it be to run a half a mile holding on to a suitcase, dragging a suitcase behind you? You could do it, it's doable. But you look kind of dumb doing it, for one. And two, it's holding you back. And so we've done that in the spirit, where we knew there was more ahead. There was the next thing for us. We were supposed to make a step forward, and we're holding on to baggage. And let me tell you, you don't get very far very quick doing that. You've got to let go. And you know, listen, it's not your spirit holding on. It's your emotion. It's your emotion. And the Bible is the one thing that divides between soul and spirit. The word says the Bible divides between soul and spirit. And so the more you know the word, the less you hold on to the emotion. The less you hold on to the thing that tries to pull your flesh. And because let me tell you, I understand, you know, family, history, tradition. And, you know, just what you've always done can have a temptation to try and hold you. Because it's what you know. Let me tell you something that's really, it's a very natural example, and it doesn't have any kind of significance. But how many of you know Jesus in the parables showed a natural thing to teach a spiritual truth? So that's what I'm doing here. I'm going to tell you about a natural thing to teach a spiritual truth. So Tim and I have had Apple products for a long time. You know, iPhone, iPad, all that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying I don't like Apple. I'm not saying I don't like iPad, iPhone, any of that stuff. That's great. But for me, it's not working anymore. Honestly, my stuff breaks down all the time. Half the time, it's not working. It's very glitchy. I have internet at my house, and for months, my phone just won't connect to the internet. You know, I have just great difficulty with my devices. And so, you know, just nature, human nature is what? To do what you've always done. Why? Because even if it's not working, it's what you know. The thing that's familiar to you will try to hold on to your emotion, will speak to your flesh. Just stay with what you know. Because at least, even if it's not working, you know it's not working. And you know how it works, right? And so there's a real temptation. Our contract is about to be up with our phones. Just stay with Apple, because I know how to work the iPhone. I know how to work the iPad. I'm familiar with where everything is. I'm familiar with how my stuff operates, sort of. And so I told Tim, I said, I'm out of here. I'm getting a Samsung. I'm done with iPhone. Pastor Jeff, that's the leading of the Holy Ghost. You got to follow the platform. He's trying to talk me out of it. Samsung 7, here I come. So anyways, you know, why in your flesh? So Tim's got this whole thing where he's like, you know, I don't know, Katie, I don't think you're going to like it. And I go, if I don't like it, I'll just take it back. There is a trial period. And I said, but what would be so bad about trying it? Just because we already know the iPhone, just stay with that? But it's not working for me. And so I'm going to try Samsung. If it's wrong, I'll humble myself and I'll say, hey, iPhone was a better product. But listen, what if it's better? What if it works 10 times better? What if I enjoy it more? What if my phone actually worked when I wanted it to? And all I had to do was take a small risk letting go of what I already know. And so I don't know if what's ahead will work, but I do know what I'm in isn't working. And so a lot of times, you know, people know, I think there's something out there better. I think there's something out there that could work more for me. You know, I think I'm supposed to go to this other place. But the emotion, the I've always done this, I've always been at this place, you know, holds a person. Because we're people of habit. We are creatures of habit by God's design. Because your habits in life put you over or put you under, right? So if you're looking to be more successful in life, check up on your habits. What are your spiritual habits? Because our spiritual habits, all of our habits, our bodily habits, our sleep habits, all those things affect our life. And so check up on your habits, because we're made or broken by our habits. But listen, we are people of habit by God's design. He meant us to be like that. But sometimes the enemy perverts that. He always perverts what God has. But sometimes he perverts that and gets people afraid to let go, to press toward the mark. Because initially, there's a lot of you're uncomfortable in your flesh when you make an adjustment, when you make a change, when you let go of what was to move toward what is. And people live tormented, they live troubled when they won't let go of where they were to go to where God has them. So if you want to make progress with God, you're going to have to follow Jesus, not your emotion, and you're going to have to get with your pastor and stay where God put you. And no matter what any other voice said, no matter how loud it is, no matter how it tries to speak to your mind, you don't allow it. You refuse. Can I tell you something very simple? Tim has taught this many times, but the way that you don't take a thought, the way that you move your will, your heart toward the things of God is simply say it. When your paycheck comes and you know they want you to start working every Sunday, you say, I will not do that. I will not. And the more that tries to speak to you, the more you say it. I said I will not. I will not choose a paycheck over God. And so the way that you get your will more connected with the Father and more connected with the Word is that you say it. You say what your will is. You say what you will do. You know, I had a temptation the other day, and, you know, I Pastor Michael really helped me when he said this. He said, probably my thoughts 20 to 1 are negative. So that helped me because, you know, sometimes you feel kind of abnormal, you know, but, you know, that negative thoughts come and maybe one good thought out of 20, you know. And so there was a temptation to be offended with my husband. And for me, I just need like 3 minutes to be by myself, to give myself a talking to, and I'm good. But I need those 3 minutes. Please don't talk to me during that time. It's like I'm pulling myself together. And I'm trying to be spiritual enough that I don't need the 3 minutes, but I still need it. Where I could just be fine right then in the moment. But so I needed to pull myself together, and I went in my bathroom, and I said, I refuse. Nope. I refuse to walk out of love. I will not do it. I will not. And I kept saying that because that moves your will toward what you are going to do or what you won't do. Amen. So hear yourself say that. Hear yourself say what you will do. No, I will tithe. No, I will be in church every week. No, I will serve God. You know, whatever it is that is on your heart, say that out loud. Hear yourself say what you will do. Amen. And so I want to read this to you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And you can read it later for yourself, verses 14 to 17. But I'm going to share verse 15 with you out of the Message Bible. And most people don't have that translation. They have either King James or Amplified. But just listen to this. The Message Bible says, there are a lot of people around who can't wait to tell you what you've done wrong. But there aren't many fathers who are willing to take the time and effort to help you grow up. Isn't that true? Because it takes patience and love to help somebody grow up. You know, you have children, and listen, every day you have to exercise patience and love to help them grow up because it doesn't happen overnight. Amen. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Tim quotes this verse a lot. Proverbs 4:20. Because if you're ever going to be a success for God, you must dictate where your attention goes. You must. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, but keep them in the midst of thy heart. My son, attend to my words. And so he's saying, give your attention to it. You know, you can practice that. If you struggle giving your attention to the word at home, practice it here. When you come into church, you know, just usually, you know, when there's a lot of people around, and the further back you sit, the more temptation there is to not attend. And, you know, when you're on the front row, you know, I don't deal with that as much because I don't see everything behind me that's happening. But the further back you go, the more you have to work on that. So when you come to service, practice attending to what's happening up here. And, you know, you can come to church and you can sit in a chair and you can look this way and you can nod your head and still not be paying attention. Michael does it to me every morning. I promise. So Michael's personality is way different than Timothy. Timothy's like, Michael, get your shoes on, get your book bag, get in the car. It's 8:05. We need to be leaving. You know, he's got it down. And he knows what to do, and he knows what Michael should do, and he's going to tell everybody. And sometimes he tries to tell me. He goes, Mommy, you really need to do your hair before we leave, you know. But Michael's not like that. He doesn't know if it's morning or night. He's just having a good old time. And I study Michael because I love that. I don't operate like that, and I want more of that. And so I just sit in awe of him sometimes. Like, this is not my child. Certainly this came from Tim. And the kids will be sitting at the counter. We have an island in our kitchen, and we have bar stools, and they'll be having their cereal or whatever they're having for breakfast. And I'll put Timothy's clothes on the washer, and I'll put Michael's clothes on the table, and I'll say, Timothy, when you're done eating, your clothes are on the washer, get dressed. And I'll say to Michael, Michael, when you're done eating, your clothes are right here on this table, get dressed. And they'll both say, okay. and I go upstairs to get ready, and I come back down, and Michael's in his little undie pants in the living room doing kung fu, and Timothy is dressed. And I'll say to Michael, "Michael, why didn't you get dressed?" And he'll say, "I didn't know where my clothes were." And I said, "Honey, Mommy told you they're right here on this table." And he'll say, "Well, I didn't hear you." And I said, "Honey, when I told you, you said, okay." So he was in my presence. He, I guess, technically heard me say words, but he wasn't paying any attention, not any. And how do I know? Because of the way he behaved, the way he responded. And so you can come to church, you can sit here, you can hear words, and you can even nod in agreement. But then if you don't do the word, you don't attend to the word, it doesn't do you any good. Amen. Go to Job. Pastor Nancy, I heard her preach on this one time. Job chapter 22, verse 21. You know, hearing words and nodding in agreement and being where words are spoken is not the same thing as attending. Attending implies that you're going to do something with it, and if you had to, you could repeat back what was said. You know, have you ever had a conversation with your spouse and they do that to you where they nod and and they act like they're paying attention, and then I'll say, "But you're not even paying attention." And Tim will say, "Yes, I am." And I say, "Well, what did I say?" And he don't know. He doesn't know what I said. And why? Because we're in the same room. He's hearing words. He's not paying attention. Amen. You can tell if someone's paying attention, right? You can tell if someone's doing the right thing, amen, by how they act. So Pastor Nancy brought it out this way one time. You know your kids, when you give them food and you set it down on the table, and most times my kids will say they don't like it. It doesn't matter what it is. They already don't like it. They're on their way to the table, and they don't like it. And so I'll set the food down, and what do? They move the food around the plate to try and make it look like they ate. But listen, as a parent, you're not dumb. You know they didn't eat the food. All they did was move it around the plate. Gabe's laughing because he knows he's done it. So the other day, we were at the table, and Michael's pulling this move the food around the plate deal. And so Tim called him on it. And he said, "Michael, all you're doing is moving your food around the plate, trying to make it look like you ate and you didn't really." And Michael goes, "You know that?" He thought all this time he was being slick, like he put one over on us, you know. You know when your kids are not eating the food, they're just moving it around the plate. And the same thing spiritually, it's obvious when you came to church and just moved the food around the plate and didn't take any of it in. We can tell if you didn't eat spiritually, right? And so, and it looks foolish when we try and act like we're listening to the word, we're attending to the word, we're doing the word, and we're really not. And we're not fooling anybody. Because when you're hearing the word, you're attending to the word. You're paying attention to it. Listen, you look different. You look different. And it's noticeable if you've eaten spiritually. Amen. And so remember how the Bible said that the word could be the milk or the meat of the word? And so when we take that in spiritually, the word, our life will look different. We can tell. Hallelujah. And so Job chapter 22, verse 21, "Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, and thereby good shall come unto thee." And so the word acquaint means to be familiar with or to know intimately, to be familiar with or to know intimately. When you are familiar with the Father, when you know him intimately through his word and through prayer, look what happens. Good comes to you. Can you bring this up in the Amplified? Acquaint now yourself with him, agree with God, and show yourself to be conformed with him. Be at peace, and you shall prosper, and great good shall come to you. Amen. You didn't have to run it down. You didn't have to flag it down. You didn't have to beg it out of the hands of God. You didn't have to lie and steal and borrow to get it. It came to you. Amen. And so the more you're acquainted with God, the more good comes to you. Amen. The more that you prosper, the more that you're at peace. Amen. And so, you know, the more I've known God, the greater my relationship is with him, the more intimately I know him, and the stronger my fellowship with him, the more good comes to me. And that can include natural things. Listen, I have a lot of things that my husband's paycheck can't afford, that I didn't buy, that it came to me. God brought it to me. Because, listen, I got acquainted with him. When you attend to his word, when you acquaint yourself with him, good comes to you. Peace comes to you. Prosperity comes to you. And so, really, my life is a financial miracle. Lots of miracles, but a financial miracle. I have way more than our paycheck because it came to me. Be acquainted with God. How many of you know if you increase with God in your relationship with him, in your prayer life with him, in your service to him, you're just in closer fellowship with him, he is not going to make you look bad by not prospering you physically, naturally, materially, you know, in money to the measure in which you're prospering on the inside. Amen? Because that makes God look bad. Right? And so when we're blessed, it makes God look good. Because I have stuff I couldn't have gotten any other way outside of God. There's no natural thing I could have done to bring it to myself. But God brought it to me. He brought great good to me. Amen. I remember one time we were in the car with Dr. Dufresne, and Tim and I were riding around with Dr. And he said, you know, if Christians aren't prospering, something's really wrong. That's true, isn't it? And it's not just little pockets of prosperity, or he only prospered me at my house. He only prospered me in my goods. No, he'll prosper you in your marriage. He'll prosper you in your family. He'll prosper you in peace of mind. He'll prosper you with increase. He'll prosper you with promotions. There'll be all kinds of prosperity. Amen? But that comes through greater acquaintance with him, knowing him more intimately. Hallelujah. And it's not a mechanic in the can, like Tim says. You can't just dump it in and a week later it's different. It takes time. It takes years for those things. Hallelujah. Even certain things, this is not popular. Certain things even we must qualify for. We must qualify for. I don't know how to explain it except to say this, that I knew we would not do the Erie Church until I faced and mastered the last physical trial that I went through. Because there was something in that I had to overcome, that I had to learn, that God had to put in me, and certain things had to be worked out before we could go on to that next thing. And so then when that thing starts to prosper, it was because already I prospered in the Spirit. There are things that I know now that I did not know before I was tried in my body, before I was on death's doorstep and God brought me back. Amen. And so after I prospered in my spirit, now this thing, this church, is going to prosper outwardly. You're going to see that prospered outwardly. And I'm not saying it's because of me. I'm just saying that there are certain things that we have to do, that we must overcome, that we must face, that we must put the word to the test before we increase. Amen. Okay, so let me share this last thing with you, and it's this, walking in love. Hallelujah. Go to 1 John, and then we'll end. 1 John chapter 4. If you can stay for prayer tonight, I encourage you to stay. I'm going to lead prayer tonight, and we're going to pray for this congregation. We'll be led for what's after that, but tonight we're going to pray for this congregation. 1 John chapter 4, go to verse 7. So we know we have to renew our mind, and we know we have to be connected to Jesus and our pastor. And the next thing is for success, and we'll end here, to walk in love. Amen. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knoweth not God, for God is love. And so how many of you know the measure in which we walk in love is the measure in which we know God? Amen, because that's what he just said. And there will be people in your family, maybe people in this family, people at your job that will do things unloving, and all we know is they're not yet acquainted with the Father. And so don't take it personal. You know, that we have compassion on them because they're not doing right because they don't know the Father. So when people do unloving things and they don't walk in love towards you, don't take it personal. You can pray for them because what we know is they don't yet know the Father well. So when we walk in love, it's because we know him. Amen. And let's practice this first and foremost at home. It's real easy to walk in love in public, at your job, at church, with your friends. That's real easy. But how many of you know we get to practice it in our home first? Amen. And I shared with you earlier, you know, that there are things that your spouse does that maybe you don't enjoy. Maybe it kind of irks you a little bit. And we overlook those things. But, you know, husbands and wives, I encourage you and I challenge you to grow your love walk in your marriage, to put each other first. How many of you know that, you know, love goes first? Love goes first. You know, once you have kids, you can't go where you want to go anymore. And that's not a bad thing. But there will be times where the husband wants to go somewhere at the same time the wife wants to go, and you be the one to say, I'll go first in walking in love. Honey, you go ahead and go. You go ahead and do what you want to do. And I'll stay here and put myself under. You know, there'll be many opportunities where you get to choose walking in love. It's not a feeling. It's doing something. It's putting someone else before yourself when you don't feel like it. Because I walk in love all the time and I don't feel loving. I just choose it. You know, when circumstances come and people press your buttons, I am going to walk in love. I choose to walk in love. And you don't have to feel loving on the inside to do love. If you walked in love and you did the right thing, you overcame, because your emotions will tell you something different. Your emotions will be screaming. Your body and your mind always wants its own way. Your body and your mind is selfish. It always wants what feels good to it. But listen, if you're led by the Spirit, you'll do what's a blessing to somebody else, in spite of and regardless of what your body says. And can I tell you something that, you know, husbands and men, or husbands and wives, they just think different about almost, well, everything. They think different about everything. And if the husbands would just think like us, it'd be fine. But I'm not having too much success converting Tim to thinking like me. But all joking aside, you know, that when with our husband and our wives, you know, we just think, we approach things different. And so that's an opportunity for friction when that happens. But even concerning, it seemed to me just to share this, even concerning intimate things, the husband and the wife think different about that. You know, that the husband thinks more along the lines of, you know, how does she look, her body, what does she look like wearing that? You know, he's going to enjoy, you know, being loving with her in the bedroom with her because of that. But how many of you know the women, we look for something different. Although that's important, we look for something different. We look for the men to be strong spiritually. That's attractive to a woman. And so the husband, needs to be the one loving, sweet. You know, Ephesians 4, it says, kind and tender-hearted. When you're more kind and tender-hearted towards your wife, when you're more loving toward her, because, you know, even in parenting, you see it. A lot of times, the dad is the one that barks at the kids, or, you know, he's real quick to kind of snap at something, or, you know, they just tend more toward that. Not all the time, but typically that the men tend toward that more. But if they're not careful, they take that into the relationship with the wife too. And then that does affect intimacy, because the wife starts to sort of shut off regarding that. And so, you know, men, if you want to fortify, strengthen your marriage, strengthen your relationship with God. Because being strong spiritually is very important to your wife. It's very important to her. That you're kind to her, you're tender-hearted toward her, you're loving toward her, you put her first, you know, that you care about what she cares about, no matter how dumb it looks to you, no matter how stupid it seems. If she cares about something, you care about it. And let me tell you, that will prosper you in ways you want it to prosper you, if you know what I mean, without saying too much with the kids being here. That, listen, when you are strong spiritually and you do go first in walking in love, you are a doer of the word, you're a person of integrity in private, and your wife sees that, that's very strong draw to her. That makes you attractive to her. That she sees you're the first one to go into your prayer closet. That she's not trying to get you to pray. She's not trying to get you to read your Bible. She's not trying to get you to tithe and get you to go to church. When you love God and put him first, it makes you attractive to her. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, men are wondering why it's not exactly how they want it to be in the bedroom. That, you know, she's not all after him. But listen, integrity, spiritual strength is what's attractive to a woman. And so if you'll do that, great good will come to you. There are many ways, but your wife will be a blessing to you. Hallelujah. And so we have a responsibility. Just like when you get married, you purpose to keep yourself looking nice. No, you know, things happen, gravity and nature, time, and, you know, that's not all going to be perfect like when you were 20, but we do the best we can with what we got, you know. That you don't let yourself slide totally, ladies. That it matters to him that when you walk in someplace together, that you put some makeup on, that you look decent, you know. When I stay at home, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I help Tim with things, but I don't have to go to a job every day, you know, like a lot of people do. But listen, almost every day I get up, I put my makeup on, I do my hair, I look nice, because he's going to have to look at me. And when we go somewhere, I want him to be proud that this is my wife. And I don't have to be the prettiest one in the room, but I want to be put together. I want to look nice. And I want it to be a good reflection on him, that he's not embarrassed to, you know, introduce me to somebody. That he's more like, this is my wife, than this is my wife. You know, it matters to a man that you put yourself together. You don't have to look perfect, but look presentable. You know, not sweatpants and your hair in a top knot and no makeup on all day, you know. And that doesn't say excellence anyway. And so just different things are different to a man and to a woman, and I'm trying to help you. So the ladies will do themselves up a little, get all dialed up, and the men will be sweet and spiritual, and it'll all work out perfect. How about that? On paper. No. So anyways, I hope you got help tonight through the word. I know God's word is always true, forever settled. It never comes back void. So we thank you, Master, for what we've received tonight. Let's take up our offering tonight, and then we'll transition into prayer. If you can,